surrender all our pride and turn from our weight. He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our limbs. Gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. Lord, I'm starting right here. Lord, I'm starting right now.
Good morning. Want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren worship service this morning. We're so delighted to have all of you who are here. We want to extend a warm welcome to you that are visiting this morning and hope that you can come back and join us at other times as well. We're excited this morning about the fact that changes have been made in the CDC guidelines, which allow us to be in the sanctuary not wearing masks if you've been vaccinated. However, if anybody feels that they want to continue to wear their mask, please do so. And we're just glad for God to give us the opportunity to be here to worship today. And so again, I want to say welcome. I want to ask you a question as I began this message about how God heals broken nations. I want to know if any of you have watched any news this week. Anybody? Have you been watching some of the news you might see on TV or other places? It looks like many of you have. The world is facing a uniquely painful time. Violence and hatred, attacks on immigrants, senseless mass killings, riots, bombings, fighting between religious groups, racism, political fighting, lies, cyber attacks, disrupting gas, and many other types of businesses, the global pandemic, just to name a few of the things that I saw this week. The earth is literally groaning with pain and moral decay and arrogant hypocrisy. But God is not surprised by what currently is happening in the world. It's not new. God has seen it before. God has seen it many times. But why? What's wrong? What needs to be done about this? Now, I want to ask you to think a moment. What would your diagnosis be to solve these problems of the world? What do you think needs to happen? You see, it's crucial that we get a correct diagnosis if we want healing to come to our world. Let me explain why I say that. I heard of a man who started to have pain in his neck, and it caused him to lean his head to the side, and he was constantly winching in pain. And doctors could not diagnose the problem. So he lived with that pain for years. And because of the pain and the way he held his neck, it actually, in time, became permanently leaning to the side. And years later, the man's head was permanently fixed sideways from all the pain. And then he had been diagnosed with a nerve disorder. But none of the treatments that the doctors and the hospital tried, none of it helped him. And after about 25 years later, he went to a dentist to remove a bad tooth and was immediately released from all the pain. He suffered all those years unnecessarily due to a failed diagnosis and the kind of treatment given to that failed diagnosis. What a tragedy. So let me ask you again. I want you to think, what would your diagnosis be to solve the problems of the world? You see, do you know what the current diagnosis of the problem of the world is? It is that in our culture, man is basically good. But he's been damaged by the way he grew up, what he's experienced. He's been damaged by negative influences. And so, we must affirm each person's individuality. We must lift them out of that bad state that they're in, no matter how they live or no matter what they believe. We just need to lift them up so they will feel better. We must tell them that they are okay. Everybody is okay. Now, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they are. We are part of the problem. The diagnosis says we need to lift them up, tell them they're okay, just as they are. We must teach them to love themselves and tell them to do whatever they need to do to make themselves happy. You see, the problem with that diagnosis is that it is flat out wrong. Man is not basically good. And people who love themselves, they're just inclined to do evil things as anyone else. You see, the problem is a spiritual issue. We are self-obsessed individuals who hide the truth of what is going on inside of us or what is going on with us. We hide the truth about ourselves, and what we do is we blame others for the flaws that we have. It's how we've been treated, how we've been raised, what we've experienced. We blame them for our ills. We cannot fix the problem until we realize we are broken people. And only God can restore that kind of brokenness. So today, I'd like to speak to you about how God heals a broken world. Actually, we live in a dark and sad day. It is selfish, it is sickening, and it is shameful. But it isn't surprising. It's not surprising because of the way we are willing to live and to act and call the way we live and to act that it's okay. It's not surprising that that would happen. Spiritually, the culture is descending into what I would call chaos because we need healing of our brokenness personally. And our nation and many other nations need healing of that brokenness. Now, King David, he cries out to God in a time when they were going through a national crisis. They were going in a time when the nation was crumbling and in great conflict. And in Psalm 60, the scripture that we read, it said, "You have shaken this nation, O God, and you have split it open. Now, Lord, heal the cracks before it completely collapses." This is a verse for our time. Lord, heal the cracks before our world completely collapses. That's the way I felt when I was watching the news this week. That's the way I felt when I heard the things that are happening in our world. It looks like we're going to collapse. Lord, we need you. And God's word is filled with examples of how God heals hurts, how God heals brokenness, how God heals conflicts and actually heals a broken nation. He did it many, many times with the nation of Israel. And there's a clear pattern and even a specific promise that God gives us in order to bring about this healing. And we're going to look at that today, at how God heals a broken nation and how God heals any kind of brokenness. And so, brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and you feel that there's something not right in your life, and you don't want to promote the big lie anymore that you're okay, that you do need healing, that you need God's hand upon you, then today is the day that God might speak to you. You know, 3,000 years ago, God made a promise to Solomon at the dedication of the new temple in Jerusalem. And it's a promise to God's people everywhere. And it gives us a specific path to healing of any nation. And that was in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It was highlighted in the song that we heard right before the message. And that verse says this. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Now that's the path. That's what God says we have to do. And here's the promise. "Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." What a wonderful promise. Because that's a need that we have today. Now, with every promise of God, there's always conditions. There's always requirements. It's not just a blank check. There are certain things that God says you have to do that we need to do. And that's what we're going to look at today. Our nation, along with many, many other nations, need a miraculous healing. That's for sure. Right now, we need a healing in our culture. We need a healing in our government. We need healing in our schools and our families. And we need healing in our hearts, because we are broken too. We need healing everywhere. And the good news is that it doesn't matter, of all the wounds and all the problems we see on the news and all the things that are happening, that's not fatal. That's not the end. That's not the last word. There is healing available. And here, you're in the right place to hear that truth and to do something about it within your own life, within our church and our community. And I pray that it will filter down into the whole world. So what is it going to take? What are you going to have to do today? If it starts right here, and if it starts right now, what are you going to have to do? Well, how's He going to heal me? How's He going to heal our world? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God gives us the pathway. He gives us the promise. He gives us four prerequisites or conditions that we need to have for our healing and for national healing. And by the way, if you need healing today, God wants to give it to you. If you'll do these four things, it can have a personal healing in your life today. So let's look at them. Number one, the first condition for healing is that we must humbly confess our sins. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves." This is one of the things that I've seen in the last several years. People have forgotten what it means to be humble. Do you know what humble means? Humble means that I don't look at myself as better than others. Humble means that I recognize that I am part of humanity. Being humble means I place other people as more important than me. Now, that scripture said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," and this promise is not for everybody. It says the promise is for those who are followers of God. It's people who believe in God. It's for people who are followers of Christ, who believe in Christ, that He's the Son of God, that God had sent Him for the ills of the world. It's not just for everybody. It's for those people who who will humble themselves and recognize who God is. If my people, meaning people who are called by Christ's name, it's for Christians. If my people called by my name will humble themselves. You see, the number one cause of our problems in this world is pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency and thinking that we don't need God. A lot of times we live our lives as if God is just somewhere on the peripheral. We only call for God when things really get bad. If things get real bad, then we call upon God and say, Lord, I need your help. But we often are arrogant and self-sufficient, thinking that we don't need God. We play God because we think we give ourselves life. We don't even think about consulting God in many of the times in what we're doing. In James 4, 6, it says this, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we start with the humility of confessing our sins to God. See, the problem is instead of practicing humility, instead of letting God be God, what we do, we spend more time accusing others for our ills and excusing ourselves for the things that we are doing. We spend more time doing that than we do bowing before God and realizing we need Him and we need His help. God is the only one that has the right to judge us. We often try to take the focus off of our failures and our sins and our mistakes and point our fingers at others. Did you know what so-and-so did? Do you understand what I heard they are doing? Because we can easily point out the sins of other people. The problem is we're not able to point out our sin. So the first step to any kind of healing is a humble confession. So let me be very frank. Let me ask you a question. Is there any sin in your life that you might identify and say, yes, you know, really, I need God to confess that before you because it's not good in my life and it's not right. Because if you do have that, if there may be something in your life that is a problem, you need to be healed. Because you are broken, just like me. That's what I need. Do you want to be healed? Do you want your family to be healed? Do you want your nation to be healed? Confess your sins. Pray for each other. We need others to help us change. See, now this is the interesting thing. That's why you need to come to church. You need to confess your sins. You need to pray for each other. We need others to change. You cannot change yourself simply by saying that I want to change. Why is that? Because God has wired the world and has wired the universe in a way that we only change by the help of other people. And that's what happens, we pray, happens when you come to church. That other people are speaking on your behalf or praying on your behalf or working on your behalf so that you might be able to be healed. And that's why we need the support of the Boone's Mill Church. You need to be here so that God can use this as a way to help you heal. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. And we just need to ask, Lord, show me anything in my life that's unpleasing to you. What is wrong that I know is wrong in my life that I need to confess? And be specific. Don't just say, Lord, forgive me all my sins. I know I've failed. I know I don't measure up. No, that's not what I'm asking. You need to be specific. That's the first step. We must humbly confess our sins. And here's number two. We must not only confess humbly, we must pray sincerely. This is praying from the heart. This is not meaningless praying. It's passionate praying. It's even desperate praying. Oh, God, I've tried and over, and I'm failing. I can't make it right. It's desperate praying. It's, God, you've got to help me now because I'm in deep trouble. That's when healing comes. It's when we desperately cry out to the one who can do something about it, because we can't. This was a problem back in Hosea's day, years and years ago. Hosea in chapter 7, 14, it says this, "They do not cry out to me with sincere hearts. Instead, they just sit on their couches and they wail." And the word in Hebrew for wail there literally means all they're doing is complaining loudly. It means I'm griping. And how many times have you sat on your couch and watching TV and pointing your finger and griping about what's going on in our society? I've done it many times. Griping about what you see on the news and complaining about what's happening in the world, that's easy to do. But it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the world, and it doesn't change me. Not complaining about it. In Ephesians 5:18, it says this, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayers, asking for all you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up." So it doesn't just say pray for one time or one day or one week. It says continue to pray for that concern. Always pray for all God's people. Always pray for what's going on in my life. You're always doing one or two things in your life, probably. You're either praying or you're complaining. One or the other. We look at the world right now and we feel like giving up. Well, you can pray or you can give up and complain. So if you're serious about needing healing this morning, if you're serious about there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of, pray. If you're serious about wanting to be healed. If you're serious about our nation to be healed, pray. Pray about it. Here's number three. We come to the third condition for national healing, and for that matter, for any other kind of healing that we need. It says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves," that's one, humbly confess, and two is pray sincerely, and then three, it says, "Seek my face." We must seek God intensely. We must seek His face. It must be a serious pursuit. It has to become your primary focus. Because in Hebrews 11:6, it says this, "God rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Earnestly. You've got to make it something that is a primary motivation in your life. It has to be something that, like Moses said, that he saw in the burning bush, he saw God. Or it's like the giants in the Bible that we often read about. They had an encounter with God because they were earnestly seeking God. God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Make that your primary motivation in life. So let me ask you, what does God want from you? He wants that you intensely seek Him. Not that you seek His blessings. You know, we often do that. We pray, God bless me. God take away the pain. God do this. God give me that. We ask for God's blessing. But are we asking to seek God? To seek Him. You have to want to know Him. Now, most people seek God's blessing. They don't seek God. And that's what I'm trying to point out here. In Psalm 14:2, it says this, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race, and he looks to see if there is even one person with real understanding who is looking, who seeks for God." The truth is, very few people really seriously make knowing God the goal of their life. So if you're here this morning and you need healing, that's the question I'm asking you. If you want to be healed, you need to seek sincerely God. We spend more time seeking everything else, but God gives us a wonderful promise in Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, "If you seek the Lord your God, you'll find him." You'll find him. "If you look for him with all your heart, with all your soul." That's intensity. "And when you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God and you will obey him, for he is a merciful God and he will not abandon or destroy you." That's a verse that we need to hear today. When you're in distress, when things have happened to you, seek God. So how do you seek God with intensity? By making him first in your life. Make that your daily passion. You know, I've said this over and over, and I'll say it again. The way we come to know God and seek God is we get into his word. Are you reading his word every day? Because that's where God speaks to us. If you're seeking God and you want to know him, you're probably not going to know much about him if you're not in his word and if you're not reading. And it doesn't matter how much you read, but you need to read every day. Matthew 6:33, Jesus made this promise. He said, "If you would seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then all the other things you need in life, they'll be given to you as well." So what do? We confess our sins humbly. We pray sincerely. We seek God intensely. And here's the last thing I want to share with you this morning. Now we come to the fourth condition for healing. We must turn back to God completely. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways," he says, "then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Now he says, turn from their wicked ways. Now when I say that phrase, wicked ways, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about there are people out there who are wicked, and there are people out there who are good. And I want to hang out with the good people, and I want to condemn and criticize and point a finger at the wicked people. That's a mistake. Listen. It's a mistake to categorize people as either good or wicked. Why? Because the reality is we all have wicked ways. I have wicked ways. You have wicked ways. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says if we say we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you know that you need a Savior, a healer? So guess what? I'm wicked. You're wicked. We're all in the same boat out here. And so what is the sin that is keeping you from God? Here's the problem. We don't admit that. We don't see that. We don't see that we have a problem. We just don't see our wicked ways. We clearly see the wicked ways of other people. Oh, we can point that out quickly, but we don't see our own wicked ways. So let me give you, for some personal edification and evaluation this morning, if you don't know if there's some sin that might be in your life, let me introduce you to a verse of scripture in 2 Timothy. It's several verses. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Paul gives us a laundry list in those verses of scripture, and there's 19 specific wicked ways that he says people are going to be acting in the last days when Christ comes. And it says that in the last days, people will be self-absorbed. I think our nation is self-absorbed in itself. They will love only themselves. They will be greedy for money. They will be boastful and arrogant. We've seen a lot of that in our culture in the last couple of years. They will be insulting to God. They will be rude and disrespectful even to their parents. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unkind and unforgiving. They will enjoy slandering others. Enjoying slandering others. Where have I heard that lately? They will have no self-control. They will love violence. And they'll be cruel. They will be cynical, despising anyone and anything that's good. They will betray those loyal to them. They will be reckless and rash. They will be inflated with self-conceit. They will love pleasure more than God. They will claim to be spiritual, but they will reject the true power that could make them godly. Now, honestly, that was written 2,000 years ago, and yet I'm amazed how accurate it describes our life today. Our culture today, right now. How it describes our own hearts and how it describes the problems that we're facing right now in our hearts in this nation and in other nations of the world. So what do we do? There's only one solution. It's not a political solution. It's not an economical solution. It's not an educational solution. It's not a psychological solution. It's a spiritual solution. Our hearts must be changed by God, and only He can change hearts. And God promises that if we will do what He tells us to do, then He will. He will do three things. Let's review that one last time. If my people, and that's a promise that God gives to Christians, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll do three things. God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their broken hearts or heal their land. That's a promise. That's a promise for you. That's a promise for me. That's a promise to this church. But it has to start right here. And it has to start right now. It has to start with me. And it has to start with you. So I ask you, would you join me? Will you join me and that we would confess our sins humbly? Would you pray with me that sincerely we call upon God, that we would seek God intensely right now, and that we would turn to God completely? Because if we would do that, if we would come just as we are, without brokenness, and we would give ourselves and our hearts and our brokenness to God, then we can expect that God will hear us right now, right here. That God would forgive our sins right now, in this moment, in this time of worship, and that God will heal our heart. God will mend our brokenness. He will heal our wounds. He will rescue us from desperation. He will fill our emptiness. And He will pardon our guilt. And He will do that because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, I want to follow the pathway to healing. I want healing in my heart, healing in my family, healing in our nation, healing in our world. Oh God, it's easy to understand what You've told us. It's just so hard to do it sometimes. We can't do it in our own. So we need to come to You right now with the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask You to give us the power to confess our sin and to pray and to seek You right now. Oh God, help us that we might seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then You'll give us all the other things we need. Help us to turn completely to You right now. Help us to stop looking at other people as wicked and see our own wickedness. And help us to realize that You want to change those things in us right now. Thank You, God, for Your grace, for Your love, for Your mercy. And Jesus, we ask for Your forgiveness. We ask for Your salvation in our life and the power to change. Lord, heal our heart. Heal our families. Heal our nation. Heal our world, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed. To be part.